Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to the Luck Changers podcast. They say the only sure thing about luck is that it changes, and we are here to change that for you. I am your host, Nate. I am back, and join with me as always, co-host Tone.
Good evening, sir.
Welcome back, Tone. And unfortunately, there is no moderator AJ this evening. He is out doing adult things, and we're going to hold it down without him, without a moderator. It's been, I don't remember the last time we had an NFL episode without a moderator, so I guess we'll kind of see how this one goes. Yeah, we got a good episode on tap for you this week. Not only are we giving you our Week 5 picks and our DraftKings per usual, but we got our quarterly power rankings that we started last year, and we brought it back, our top 5 power rankings. I've been seeing a lot of posts on Facebook and all the social medias of all these different power rankings, and everybody hates all of them. So I can't wait to see how shitty ours are.
Yeah, it's always cool to see how they shift and change throughout the year, too. So this is just the first one, and it'll be exciting to see how it pairs to the last one.
Yeah, I agree. So we were going to start with the what did he say, but AJ hasn't texted to us yet. So why don't we, Tone, do you want to just run through our recap from last week while we wait for the what did he say to come in?
Yeah, I'll take us to the recap. And it's so good to have you back, Nate. I did want to personally shout you out. My God, you've just been killing it from afar, brother. I mean, right now you're 16-6 to start the year, 72.7%. You're up 16 units, so it's impressive. You fucking love to see it. And we'll recap just week 4 itself. Again, another great week for yourself. You had 5 plays. You went 4-1, up 6 units. You had that really nice 3-unit play with the Raiders -2. You had the Bengals -4. A teaser with the Saints +9 and Atlanta +7.5. Unfortunately, you missed the Texans game. I like that game as well. They just couldn't close it out. They were close at the end. But then
yeah, they
came
back.
I mean,
it was wild.
So we went down to Mountaineer, and I actually put money on that. And I was watching. I was like, oh, we got a chance. And then, unfortunately, they scored again at the end to go up 10. The Chargers did. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's always a field goal, a play here, a play there that just really changes how you perform. So you did miss that one. You came back with the 49ers -1 for 2 units. Just nailed it. Great week overall. Again, you're 16-6 right now, so it's super impressive. I had a fine week last week. I wasn't mad about it. I mean, I went 3-2. I had the Bengals -4 as well. Luck it in that we had. I had the Giants -3 for 2 units. That hit, luckily. I had the Giants team total over 20.5 for 2 units. It did not hit. It was just frustrating. I was watching it because, again, we were at the sports book, so all the games were on. The Giants miss a field goal with about 2 minutes to go, and it's the reason it didn't go over. And again, that's just the game. It happened, so I missed that one. And then I also missed the Steelers team total over 22.5. So another frustrating one. I feel like the Steelers just were a little underwhelming at times. I still thought that the Jets could have came back at the end, tied it up. It went to overtime, and maybe the Steelers could have got to 23, but they just let the Jets beat them at home. So really kind of disgusting performance, but I was able to rally back with the Raiders -2 for another luck it in hit. So I was up 1 unit for the week, went 3-2. For the year so far, I'm 11-10, 52.3%, only up 1 unit. I'm right there. I'm not exactly where I want to be, but, you know, I'm steady, and we'll get there. Again, my guy Nate, 72.7%, up 16 units. And our luck it ins are now 2-1. So we start off 0-1, bounce back this week, getting 2 straight. So we're at 66.6%, up 1 unit. So overall, Nate's exactly where you want to be. But, you know, as a show, we're right where we want to be. We're giving out that solid advice, and we'll try to keep it rolling.
Yeah, and obviously, real quick, if you guys didn't notice, we are putting this episode out a little later. We are recording as of Friday evening. It is around 8 p.m. Friday night. We didn't have any action on that poopy game last night between the Colts and Broncos. It was not a fun watch. We didn't have any action on it. The Colts didn't end up winning. Obviously, they were 3-point underdogs. But, I mean, very underwhelming from Russell Wilson. Obviously, Javonte Williams is done for the season. RIP to my fantasy football team. But real quick, the NLODs actually moved to 4-1 on the season, 4-0 in NFL. The only loss was that college football where we haven't really been putting out the Minnesota yet. My picks have been terrible. Our guy D-Say, shout out to him, new homeowner. He's been super busy himself. So maybe we might get some more of those college football episodes out in the future. But for now, we're just kind of chilling. Me and Tone, we started the show because we gave out good information, good picks, and unfortunately my college picks have been straight garbage. So I haven't been really putting those out. But we did get a text courtesy of D-Say. This week's, what did he say? He's a bit of a curveball, full pun intended. Aaron Judge fell to .04 in batting average away from winning the Triple Crown. Who was the last player to win the Triple Crown in the MLB? So a little bit of a baseball question. And I think I have an idea who it is, though.
Well, maybe it does qualify then. We'll see.
Yeah, right.
We'll see.
I could be wrong.
Again, we did have our annual Mountaineer trip this year. Unfortunately, Nate wasn't able to make it, but we did have our guy Jaron step in with us. So me, him, and AJ, you know, we had a great time. We did our golfing, which was a struggle, some more than others. You know, we went to the sports book, got in the hot tub, played blackjack, all the Mountaineer things that you like to do. And do want to shout out our guy Chance. He was sending in some plays along with our guy Nate from home, just rocking it. So it was fun to see these guys even back home getting a little action in and tearing it up. So always a good time, and we can't wait for next year.
We'll make it a party. Also, you guys went to the racetrack?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Went to the racetrack. Long walk. Doesn't seem like it. And you're only there for about 7 minutes. So it was a cool experience nonetheless. We didn't win, but it was a full-fledged just grand time for about 90 seconds while that horse went around the track. So it was a good time, definitely.
Yeah, from the Snapchat, you guys, there was quite a few zooms from the racetrack to showing me where the casino was comparatively. I'm like, oh wow, that's, I hope they drove. Nope, you walked.
Brutal. Nope, we sure did. So it was an experience, one that we never did down at the old near before. So it was a good one.
Yeah, they don't always have horse races. There's some weekends they don't have it. There's a lot of times they'll do it during the week too. It's weird, but yeah. So we'll just kind of transition to our quarterly power rankings. Our guy AJ, the moderator, did put his power rankings in, so we'll just kind of read them off as we go. Tone, do you want to get us started with your number 5 so far this year?
Yeah, let me make sure I'm going in the right order, because I know I'm always notorious for the one that's giving my first team in the wrong order. So with my fifth team, I'm not gonna lie, it's right on par with what AJ has. And it's challenging because I really wasn't on this team coming into the year. I took their under team wins, but they're off to another good start. It's Green Bay Packers. So I don't love them per se, but offensively, they're able to run the ball. Aaron Rodgers is starting to get some of these younger guys involved, and we know they have a good defense. So it's hard to count them out. So I don't like them as one of my Super Bowl contenders, but I'll put them at number 5.
Yeah, so obviously you mentioned, I'll go ahead and read AJ's real quick. He also at number 5 has the Green Bay Packers, so a little mini luck it in. For myself, I don't have the Packers in my top 5. I do have them at 6 overall. Reason being, they did lose to my Minnesota Vikings. They barely beat a third-string quarterback with the Patriots. They have a win over the Bears, who have a quarterback who only has 34 completions in the first 4 games, which is wild. And I don't know, I feel like they're fine. They beat the Buccaneers, but it was an ugly game. Poor Tom Brady's going through a divorce, and I don't think he's all in there. But for my number 5, I actually have the Miami Dolphins. A lot of people just quickly wrote them off after the loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, who are a really good football team in their own right. They lost their quarterback. It was just a really scary scene to see Tua down like that. Teddy Bridgewater had to come in. So their only loss of the year is that Cincinnati Bengals loss. They're one of the two last undefeated teams. So at number five, the Miami Dolphins, I'm still pretty high on them. I know Tua is not playing this week. Thank God. We'll see. So right now at number five, Miami.
So with my number four team, and this is another team that, you know, they could be 4-0. They're 2-2 right now, and you still got to close out the game. So I think they have a ton of talent. They can stay healthy. It's the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, Lamar Jackson is looking like an MVP candidate. Rashad Bateman did go down with a foot injury. So he's their number one wide receiver, although it's really Mark Andrews. But as far as their wide receiver position goes, that's a little troublesome, but they still have a ton of talent defensively. They're solid. J.K. Dobbins looked like he was back last week, so that was reassuring. So again, if they can stay healthy, I think that they can compete, and I'll put them at my number four team.
Man, so real quick, I'll read AJ's again, and it's the same. He's also got the Baltimore Ravens at number four, and I think you guys are absolutely crazy. I throw in a 2-2 team in there. Yeah, they should have been 4-0, but at number four, I got the Minnesota Vikings. Okay. Why not? So hear me out. They're 3-1 this year. They beat the Packers week one. Their only loss is to the team that hasn't lost a game yet this year, in the Philadelphia Eagles. So I don't know why people are keep writing them off. This is the power rankings. I'm not saying they're the fourth best team in the league right now. Well, I'm saying they are right now, but in the future, I'm sure they'll get kind of pushed out. But right now at 3-1 with a win over the Packers, impressive win in London over the Saints in a hard fought battle. They beat the Lions at the end there, who is the highest scoring team in the league, and only one loss to the Eagles. So give me the Vikings at number four.
I'm always rooting for the Vikings, so I can respect that. With my third team, I got to put Kansas City there. You know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. They did lose Tyreek Hill, but offensively, they've still been abundant, and defensively, they're fine too. So it's hard to root against Patrick Mahomes in his prime. He's just solid. So right now, until they start to show me more of a decline, I'll have them at my number three spot.
Yeah. AJ also has the Kansas City Chiefs at the third spot, and I'm going to make it a clean sweep here. I also have the Kansas City Chiefs in my number three spot. After that big win on Monday night against the Buccaneers, Mahomes is looking better than ever, even without Tyreek Hill, as you mentioned. So I think that Chiefs team is an easy number three spot.
Okie doke. I wonder if we have the same two teams.
Right.
And, you know, this team has really proved a lot of people wrong, I think. I was high on them beginning of the season. I love to see the emergence of Jalen Hurts with the addition of A.J. Brown. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. I think defensively, they're really solid as well. Their defensive backfield's tough. Offensively, they're just tough to contain. I mean, they're 4-0, and they haven't had the best schedule to start the year, but I do think they're a tough football team. They might end up dropping as the year goes on because they do have a couple injuries right now, but I just think they have a ton of talent on both sides of the ball, and they're my number two team.
Yeah, so AJ, same thing. He's with the Eagles. It looks like you guys are going to have the same exact power rankings as their top five. And for me, I actually have the Bills at number two. I'm going straight power rankings. Eagles haven't lost a game, 4-0. The Bills, I do think, are the best team in the NFL at the end of the year. They're going to win the Super Bowl more than likely. It's either them or the Ravens, who I have at number seven, which is odd that they're my Super Bowl pick. But the Buffalo Bills are my number two. So I'm pretty sure I know which your guys' number one is. And but real quick, I'll just say my number one, obviously, is the Philadelphia Eagles, 4-0. Hard to not put them there.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills are going to be my number one, and I almost put the Eagles up there, so I don't blame you there. So, all right, this is 1.0. We'll see how the power rankings shift and change. It's early. We got a lot of football left, luckily, and I'm excited to see how they kind of play out. So, shout out my guy, AJ. We have the exact same power rankings.
Yeah, that's wild. So, real quick, if you weren't listening in the offseason, we did a little thing where we drafted 8 NFL teams in a snake order draft, me, Tone, and AJ. And just a quick update through week 4. Right now, my 8 teams are sitting at 17-16. Tone, you're 16-16-1. And AJ is 17-15. Did I read that right?
I thought I was 17-16, but it's okay. We're all right there nonetheless. Right. Wow, that's crazy. I took the whole AFC West, so that's kind of stinky. Hate to see it.
Right. Yeah. The Broncos and Raiders, they'll bounce back. Those are a couple teams I think will bounce back eventually.
Yeah, we'll see. I like it. We'll probably check in about midseason, and it'll be fun to see how that shakes out as well.
Agreed. But
I think that'll bring us into our week five lines. So if, unfortunately, without our guy, AJ, the moderator, so I guess we can kind of moderate this back and forth together. And we'll start off with the 9:30 a.m. London game. We have the New York Giants facing the Green Bay Packers. The Giants are +8. The over-under is 41.
Okay, yeah, I could imagine this line is shifting or going to be shifted throughout the week. But as of right now, when it's at 8, I know the teases haven't been great so far this year for us, but I did hit on mine last week, so I'll throw one more in this week, and I'm going to start a leg here. I'm going to take the Packers down to -2, and I'm tease that with the Washington Commanders up to 8.5. I think they have to do something eventually, right? I mean, unless Carson Wentz wants to get benched.
I don't hate that at all. I mean, we'll talk about the Commanders later, but they could have been in that Cowboys game last game. This line would be a little different. So, alrighty. We'll luck it in. I'm going to go ahead and take a teaser as well. I'll tease Green Bay down to -2. The Giants just, you know, they have some injury concerns. I do think Daniel Jones is intending on playing, but even then he's still banged up. Saquon is tough. He's doing a fantastic job, but the Packers' strength is their run defense. So I think they'll be able to contain him at least somewhat, and they don't got a lot going on as far as wide receiver goes, the Giants. So I think the Packers should be able to take care of this, at least win it by a field goal. So I will take them down to a teaser, or sorry, down to -2, and I'm going to tease them with the Cleveland Browns up to 8.5.
And they're playing the Chargers, which I love that pick. The Browns, yeah, they seem just to play to a level of their opponent, obviously losing games to the Falcons and Jets, but coming out and winning big games. Obviously, the Steelers haven't proved to be much. We'll talk about them here shortly.
That actually brings us into our next game, really. Right. The Browns are on the docket there. We have the Los Angeles Chargers. They are -2.5 at the Cleveland Browns. Over-under is 47.5.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and get this started. I actually have the over in this. I'm taking the over 47.5 between the Chargers' high rate of scoring with Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler. Obviously, I'm hoping Keenan Allen comes back, but right now it's not looking promising. But they still prove they can score a lot of points. The Browns have a sneaky good offense. They can run on anybody. And I know the Chargers made a lot of moves in the offseason, but after seeing how they played in the second half against the Texans, I think they're going to susceptible to allowing a lot of points. So over 47.5 is a pretty safe bet, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to take the over with these two teams. Look what they did last year. I mean, I think the Chargers might have covered that 47 by themselves. So
right,
we'll see how that plays out. One thing I do think about this game when I look at it, though, is just that, like, Chris Berman, tick, 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 because the Browns are going to run the ball. They're second in rushing attempts per game, and they're first in rushing first downs. So we're rushing the ball a lot. We're getting a lot of first downs. But sadly, I've also learned that Kevin Stefanski likes to give up points. So we experienced this when we were at the sportsbook. We all took the Browns just because we're fans. Didn't even want to do it. Had to do it. We're in the first quarter. We're in the red zone. Stefanski goes for on fourth down instead of taking your points on the road. We end up losing the game by 3. So it's a little frustrating as a Browns fan, which is why I'm going to tease the game up. So again, I'm going to take them +8.5. They're at home. I do think we should be able to wear down this Chargers defense or without Joey Bosa. Offensively, they're still without Slater, their left tackle. Keenan Allen, I don't believe, is going to play. Justin Herbert seems to be better, but who knows if he has some lingering with those ribs. So I think the Chargers could definitely win this game. I'm rooting for the Browns, and they have a talented roster in general. They could also win this game. So teasing up to 8.5 seems very safe with Green Bay -2.
Right on. So that brings us into a wild spread this week. We have a 1-3 Pittsburgh Steelers team heading to Buffalo as 14-point underdogs. They're +14, over under 46.5. I'm passing real quick. AJ making a one-time play, one time of the year. AJ's lock of the year. He's saying that the Pittsburgh +14 is an absolute lock. So if you want to ride with our guy moderator AJ, then jump all over that Pittsburgh. What do you got there, Tone?
Oh, AJ with the honorary right pick. You love to see that. That'd be huge for him if he can go 1-0 and be 100%. Man, right? You know, it's interesting line in general. So 14 points, I even saw it up to 14 and a half at one point, is the highest Pittsburgh has ever been as an underdog in franchise history.
That.
So that's kind of wild to think about. I love them at 14 and a half. I'm not going to take this because, you know, generally we don't like to touch these spreads. I don't want to touch it in either direction, but 14 and a half, I love it. So if you can get at that, who knows, maybe it's a live type of play, live game play, because the Steelers can definitely get down. But I can see a backdoor. Maybe Kenny Pickett's out here trying some new things. We'll see. So I can rock with that, AJ, but I'm also going to pass this game.
Yeah, that big spread is just not for me. I had mentioned in the text teasing them up to like 20, 20 and a half. That'd just be a wild number in the NFL. Dude,
that would be crazy. We'll see, though. I mean, that'll bring us to our next game. Nate's guys, the Vikings. We have the Chicago Bears plus 7 going on the road to play the Minnesota Vikings fresh from London. The over-under in this game is 44. Nate, do you have anything for this?
I don't. I'm obviously, it's rare for me to take the Vikings, and if I'm going to take that game, I usually take against them. And this one, I don't think coming home from London, laying 7 points against the Bears team who desperately seems to need a win right now. They are 2-2, but Justin Fields, I think his highest completions in the game is 11. So the Vikings secondary isn't very good right now. Harrison Smith is just a show of himself. We lost to Lewis Seen for the year. So I'm just going to pass this one, watch it as a fan. I don't even care if we cover, just win the fucking game.
Yeah, and it's a tough divisional matchup. For me, the thing is just the Vikings coming from London. I don't know. It's hard. If it wasn't for that, I probably would love to tease them down just to win the game. But the Bears can be tough at times. I'm not really on their camp at all. Just two teams I don't want to bet on this week, so I'll pass this game.
Right on. So we got another team in that division coming up for our next game. It's the 1-3 Detroit Lions. They're plus 3 against another 1-3 Patriots team who none of us were really high on the Patriots coming into the year. So it's kind of proven that we're right so far. They're 1-3. Not sure about what Mac Jones is up to. His twin, Bailey Zappi, could be playing here. So, and the over-under real quick is 46. I'm going to pass this game personally. It's just plus 3. The Lions score a lot of points. Bill Belichick seems to win games when he really needs to. But I like Dan Campbell as well. I think this is a really good head coaching matchup. Should be a fun watch, but I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think it's going to be a stinker and ugly game. But I'm going to take a rear total. I don't take a lot of team. I take team totals. I don't take a lot of totals in general. This one I'm going to touch. I'm going to take the under 46. So I just think this line is screaming at you to take the over. We have the Lions who are 4-0 against as far as over goes on the season. They scored 45 points themselves last week. 45-48 versus the Seahawks. Patriots game went over last week versus the Packers. I just feel like it's one of those lines begging you to take the over. The Lions, this will be the first game they played outside of a dome. You're playing Bill Belichick, defensive team at home. I think it's going to be tough. You're without DeAndre Swift. Amon-Ra St. Brown still banged up. He may not play. I think it's going to be hard to replicate what they did versus Seahawks against this New England defense under that scheme with Bill Belichick. I just think it's going to be a lower scoring game. The Patriots aren't much to write home about on offense. They like to run the ball, so it should tick, tick, tick. The one thing that does give me pause about this is that Lions defense is so poor, but I don't know if the Patriots have the kind of offense or the game plan to really try to run up the score. I would probably lean towards the Patriots as well. I'm not going to touch it just because who knows. I do like Dan Campbell. If they do get some of those guys back, that could change things for me. So I'll take the under 46. It might be a good game, might be a blowout, but I don't think there'll be a ton of points scored.
Yeah, I'm also noticing when I'm looking down at these lines, why are they only giving us 3-4 o'clock games like every week? There's no bye weeks. It's all games are at one. I don't know. I think they should spread it out a little more. I'm just bitching, I guess.
No, I agree, because sometimes the 4 o'clock games are just fine. And I'm like, I had like all these 1 o'clock games. We can spread it out a little bit. So,
yeah.
But that'll bring us to another 1 o'clock game. We have the Seattle Seahawks plus 5.5 at the New Orleans Saints. Also fresh off a London trip. Over-under in this game is 46.
Yeah, it's a bit of a fishy line when you got, I mean, obviously the Saints coming back from London, given 5.5 points, it doesn't look like Jameis is going to be playing. Michael Thomas also doesn't look like he's going to be playing. I'm assuming Alvin Kamara is going to be playing, but I'm going to pass it. The Seahawks are not a bad football team. They're 2-2. Obviously, their defense didn't look good last week, but Geno Smith has looked great. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, the whole offense. Rashad Penny went absolutely off. So, 5.5, that's such a weird number. I know they're at home, but I'm going to pass that one. That's a lot of points, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm also going to pass this game. I do kind of – I would take the Seahawks if I had to pick. I mean, again, New Orleans is coming off that London trip. They're already banged up in numerous positions. If you look at that London trip, they had a ton of offensive guys that didn't even make the trip and didn't play. I just don't think they're in a great position. I don't know who they are to be giving up 5.5 points. I don't care if you're at home. I don't care if it's the Seahawks. I want to take the Seahawks, but I'm just not going to touch this game. They're traveling as well. I'm going to stay away and watch it. But if I had to pick, I would take Seahawks getting them 5.5 points.
Yeah, even if you're just looking for a little action on the side, maybe even in a tease to the 11.5 to get a lot of points with the Seahawks. I don't think the Saints can beat anyone by double digits right now, especially without all these guys.
Yeah, I agree. I do like them as a teaser league for sure.
Yeah, so another 1 o'clock game that brings us to, we got the 3-1 Tua-less Miami Dolphins this week. They're heading out to the New York Jets, which is actually in New Jersey, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah, interesting. So Miami is -3.5 with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm, over under 46.
So this is another tough game. I mean, I'm back and forth on this one. The Jets are now with Zach Wilson, and I really he went on the road. He did things I didn't think he could do. He went on the road. He beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Dolphins, you're going to be without two. You have Teddy covers, so it's really hard to go against that. But we have another divisional matchup here, and I think 3.5 points is too much. I got to take them +3.5 at home. I'm just playing the number here strictly. I might regret it. I feel like they're begging you to take the Dolphins so much. I think this is a number one bet on game this week, and the Dolphins are bringing in the most money. So whenever that happens, you know, Vegas needs it to go the other way. I could easily see this game landing on a field goal, and that hook is what gets us the win. So I'll take the Jets +3.5. I'm not going to feel good about it, but I think it's one of those plays divisionally you just have to take.
Yeah, I'm going to lock that in, and I'm going to feel great about it. +3.5. Without Tua felt like he's been the engine that been revving this team up this whole year. A lot of hate towards him. Tyreek Hill had his back all offseason. He's really proved himself. Him, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. So I don't know how good
chemistry.
Yeah, there you go.
Camaraderie.
Yeah, the C word. between Teddy Bridgewater and the wide receivers are. He's not much of a downfield thrower. Teddy isn't. Teddy two gloves. And Robert Saleh has this Jets team playing great. Obviously 2-2, but those two wins have been wild comeback. Yeah, so that just brings us to another one of these 1 o'clock games. And it's going to be the Tennessee Titans. They're 2-2 this year. They're -2.5 on the road against the 1-3 Washington Commanders team. Over under 43. Obviously, I have my tees. I have the Commanders up to 8.5 with the Packers -2. What do you got?
I'm going to pass this game. These are just two teams that I don't like to bet on. I don't really want anything to do with, but I don't hate your Washington Commanders pick. +8.5 at home. This Tennessee team has been tough at times, but you know, if you look at the Commanders, they really could have been in that Dallas game. They had two penalties in general that vastly determined the game. So it was kind of tough for them. They just weren't on the right side of the stick, but I can see them covering 8.5 at home versus Titans team on the road. I like it. I'm going to pass.
I dig it.
So that will bring us to our last 1 o'clock game. A lot of 1 o'clock games. We have the 0-3-1 Houston Texans +7 Jaguars over under 43.5.
Yeah, this is going to be a pass for me. I mean, I get it. Trevor Lawrence is playing a little bit better this year, but who are the Jags to give 7 points to anybody, even at home? Especially this Houston Texans team. Obviously, they haven't won yet, but just to see the resilience against a really good Chargers team last week, Davis Mills has heart, miles and miles of heart. So I'm going to pass this one. 7 points is a lot of points. They could cover. I'm not saying they won't, but I don't want anything to do with that game.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jacksonville a lot. They definitely got some breaks versus their opponents as far as injuries, et cetera, go. But I feel like both sides of the ball, they're growing. I do like what Trevor has going, but I'm ultimately going to pass this game as well. It's a division matchup. If I had to take it, I would take Houston plus 7. Even saw a 7.5 out there. So on the flip side, it wouldn't be bad just teasing the Jaguars down to basically a pick. So again, I'm going to stay away from it. I'll pass this game, but it should be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, and finally, we get ourselves to the 4 o'clock games. We don't have any, like, 4:05 games, 4:15. They're all 4:30. Starting with the 49ers on the road against Carolina Panthers. The 49ers are minus 7 with, I think, the lowest total on the sheet here at 39.
Yeah, and I actually, right before the show started, I went 39.5. So that's what I'm going to take. If we look at these two teams, Carolina specifically, you know, they've been underwhelming in general, but most of that's their offense. I mean, defensively, they're terrible. The 49ers throwing a short week, traveling east. I just think that be one of those kind of ugly games. Out. The 49ers also like to run the ball at high tempo, so the clock's just ticking down. Could be a 20-10, 21-13 type of game. I just don't see a lot of scoring here. The one thing that does give me pause about this, and I may regret taking it because I don't take a lot of totals, is that Baker Mayfield is probably going to turn over the ball. The 49ers a defensive touchdown or just putting the offense in a really good field position in general. That makes me a little nervous, but I don't expect a lot of points out of this Carolina team in general. You know, I think if they can stay under 14 points, that gives the 49ers a little bit of wiggle room there. I don't know if offensively the 49ers are going to score a ton of points either. So they still lost their left tackle, the best left tackle in the game when Trent Williams. You have Jimmy G on the road now, and who knows what's going to happen. But I'll take the under 39.5 and just kind of root for a really shitty game.
Yeah, I mean, poor Baker. It's been ugly.
Yeah, I was trying to root for Baker. I mean, I thought Baker was solid. I hated when he drafted him. I want Josh Allen, of course. Remember, we were at Mikey, your brother's house.
Yeah.
People were playing ping pong downstairs. I was upstairs watching the Browns take Baker Mayfield, number one pick, and I was pissed about it. But I'll tell you what, after we drafted him, I loved his demeanor. I loved his swagger. And I was a Baker believer. I gave him the benefit of the doubt last year that he was hurt. This year he's not hurt, but he's just underwhelming. I mean, he does have weapons in that offense, but they're not prevailing. So I'm off that train, and again, I'm just a root for ugly game. I'll take the under.
Love it. So that brings us into our next 4 o'clock game. The Dallas Cowboys are 5.5-point underdogs on the road against the Los Angeles Rams, over under 43.
Yeah, so I hate to do this. It's an interesting matchup here. You have the Cowboys who are 3-0 under Cooper Rush, 3-0 against the spread, versus the LA Rams, who just got kind of embarrassed against the 49ers, you know, on a Monday night. So they're on a short week as well. But I'm going to take the Rams. I'm taking the Rams minus 5.5. I just think the Cowboys are in an ultimate overvalue spot here. The public loves them. Again, they're 3-0 against the spread, 3-0 straight up with Cooper Rush. It's ugly to bet the Rams right now, but I just have to do it. So the Rams are on a short week. But if we look at them historically, they've covered 5 straight games on short rest, 15-8 against the spread after a loss. So I feel good about them as far as those stats go. I'm also fading Cooper Rush. Again, 3-0 against the spread, but he's had a lot of luck along that journey. So if we look back last game versus the Commanders, Washington had 2 interceptions that were overturned due to illegal contacts. They had another ball that would have been picked, but the safety fell down. So I feel like he got lucky there. If you go back to the Bengals game, Cooper Rush in general had 3 picks that were wide open, but they're dropped by the DB. So that's why they're not wide receivers. But still, I feel like he could have had a lot of moments in games that would drastically affect the outcome, and he wouldn't be 3-0. He was on the right side of the fence at the time. I feel like that's going to change this week. The Rams should be able to stop the ball as far as, you know, running goes defensively. Now they're saying Tony Pollard possibly is out because he had some kind of illness, kept him out of practice today. I just think the Cowboys are in a super overvalued spot. I will take the Rams minus 5.5 versus the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think this one actually opened at 4 when I was, I think, what did I look on Tuesday?
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
shot right up.
Yep. But I'm going to look that in. I'm going to lay that 5.5 with the Rams. And also, I think I saw CeeDee Lamb is a bit beat up. He didn't practice yesterday. I'm sure he was back at practice today. But I'm also fading Cooper Rush. His name is all over the place. He's going to have way too much pressure behind him. And he's playing against this Rams defense that has the likes of Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner, who's a professional protesting tackler, which is awesome. I appreciate him for that. But yeah, laying 5.5, even with all the reasons that you mentioned, all those stats, 15-8 coming off a loss against the spread, winning those five straight games after on a short week. I think this is a huge spot for the Rams. It's going to be a double digit, or I wouldn't even tease the Cowboys up, even if you paid me to. So give me the Rams minus 5.5.
All right, look at him. That'll take us to another 4 o'clock game. We have the 4-0 Philadelphia Eagles minus 5. They're at the 2-2 Arizona Cardinals. Over under in this game is 49.
Yeah, so the two Cardinals wins have been extremely ugly. They were able to beat the Raiders in overtime on a fumble recovery for a touchdown, which I actually thought he dropped the ball before he scored, and that ugly win against Carolina last week. So 5 points, I can see where they're getting that. But on the road, I think the Eagles are going to I think they're going to lose this game, honestly. And if you're going to give me 5 points, then give me the Cards for 3 units, the NLOD of the week. I'm all over that all day. I think the Cards not only covered, but I do think they end up winning this football game.
Wow. Okay. You heard it here first. So we might have to come back and talk this or something, so people know we're not bullshitting. But
right.
I'm going to pass this game. I am high on the Eagles. They're banged up right now. I mean, the status of their current roster is heavily influencing me betting on this game. So just because there is uncertainty, I don't want to touch it. And especially not trying to go against you right now when you're on your little heater with your 3-unit NLOD. So I will be on the sidelines heavily rooting for the Cardinals plus 5, but I'm going to pass this game.
Appreciate you, my guy. So that brings us into our Sunday night game. It should be a really fun one. The Cincinnati Bengals on the road against the Baltimore Ravens. Bengals plus 3, over under 48.5.
This is probably my favorite game on the slate this week. I don't know. I love the AFC North matchup. It's our division. It's tough. You got Lamar Jackson versus Joe Burrow. A lot of stars in this game in general. It's going to be a fun one. I'm going to pass. I really love the Ravens minus 3. I just feel like, again, they could be 4-0. They should be able to close it out at home, but they also have some injury concerns. The line is moving back and forth. It gets to 3.5. I start to like the Bengals. It's at 3. I like the Ravens. I think it means I need to watch it, enjoy Sunday night football from the sideline, and I'm going to pass this game.
I couldn't agree more. It's just going to watch this one as a fan, watching two really good quarterbacks. A couple teams, both 2-2, who it's crucial for them to win. You don't want to fall to 2-3, especially in the division that you're in, especially in the AFC. So I'm going to pass this one. It's going to be a really fun watch.
It's definitely going to be. So that'll bring us to Monday Night Football. We have the 1-3 Las Vegas Raiders plus 7 visiting the 3-1 Kansas City Chiefs. Over-under is 51.
Yeah, that 1-3 record, I just don't think that defines the Raiders. I think they're a way better football team than that. Honestly, if the Raiders were 2-2 right now, I think the line would be like 4.5. So I'm going to take the Raiders getting 7 points. So I also think they can win this game. The Chiefs, I just feel like they find games throughout the year that they don't losing is not the worst thing in the world. But getting 7 points, I think the Raiders are going to go ahead and cover. I'm going to put 2 units on that one, the Raiders plus 7.
You know, I think this is one of those divisional AFC matchups that you have to blindly bet their Raiders in this position. I mean, I'm also going to take them plus 7. Luck it in. The Raiders, again, they start off 0-3. They did get a win against kind of a lousy Denver team, but they had some pretty tough breaks over the first couple of weeks. They've been one of the most unlucky teams. They could easily be 2-2, for example. Both teams could, and then the line's going to be a little closer. So I think 7 points is way too much. I think Kansas City finds a way to win, but we know Kansas City can't cover, so we'll see how that plays out. I think this line could get to 7.5 potentially, but it also might dip to 6.5. So I'll take the 7 and just be happy I got it.
I agree. Yeah, you want to jump on that 7 all day. But that will bring us to our recaps real quick. I'll go ahead and go through mine so far for my week. I got 6 plays, 1 teaser, 5 single bets. I got 9 units on the board this week. I got the Packers -2, teased with the Commanders +8.5. I got that Chargers Browns game over 47.5, Jets +3.5, Rams -5.5, the Cards +5 as my 3-unit NLOD, and the Raiders +7 for 2 units.
Alrighty, I have 6 plays this week, just 6 units. I'm keeping it flat. I have a teaser of the Browns +8.5 with Green Bay -2. I also have the Detroit Lions and the New England Patriots under 46, the Jets +3.5, the 49ers and Panthers under 39.5, the Rams -5.5, and the Raiders +7. So we have 2 luck-it-ins.
At 3.
3 luck-it-ins.
The Jets +3.5, the Rams -5.5, and the Raiders +7. 3.
Wow. Right? 3 luck-it-ins. No head-to-heads, but
no.
Let's None get it.
Yet this year. Not a single head-to-head yet this year.
That's insane. I'm not mad about it, though.
Right. And we also have our guy AJ. He put himself in the recap. 1 play, 5 units, Steelers +14.
Yes. Hell yeah.
My guy. So that brings us to our DraftKings this week. How have you been doing in DraftKings so far this year?
Just fine. You know, not as good as I was last year. I feel like maybe I'm overthinking it. Last year was my first real year doing it, but we're out here grinding, and I feel like I put together a really nice squad this week.
Oh, I have to change mine. So Dawson Knox is out this week.
Oh, wow. Makes AJ's pick even a little stronger.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I'll let you go ahead and pick first. I'm going to change my tight end.
Alrighty. So I'm going to start off with the quarterback that I mentioned. I think that this team is just ascending on both sides of the ball, but especially offensively. I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence. He's 5.6K. He's had the addition of Christian Kirk this year, who's been a stud for him. And I feel like overall this offense has really opened up since Urban Meyer's left their head coaching position. So I think he's going to have a bounce back week because he did have one of his worst weeks ever last week. It was raining out. It's just a tough spot for him to play in. He's playing this Houston defense this week, who should give him some opportunity. So I'll take Trevor Lawrence, 5.6K.
Love it. So for my quarterback, I have Carson Wentz. He's only 5.7K, so he's right around that same price point going against Tennessee. His first 2 weeks, Carson Wentz played really well. He just kind of fell off the past couple weeks, but I think against this Tennessee's defense, I see a lot of potential for Carson this week.
Hell yeah, love it. With my first running back, I'm going to take the number one running back in the NFL right now through 4 weeks, Nick Chubb. He's 8K. He's playing this Chargers defensive unit in general, defensive line without Bosa. I just think there's a ton of potential for him to rack up some yards, hopefully get in the end zone, and I'll take him as my first running back, 8K.
Love it. So for my first running back, I went a little bit cheaper, but I got Leonard Fournette. He's 6.9K. I feel like this week against the Falcons, obviously we saw what the Browns did to him on the ground, and I think this week the Buccaneers are going to try to get back to it. I think they only ran the ball like 7 times against the Chiefs last week. Tom Brady threw the ball 52 times. Can't imagine that happening again. So at a relatively lower price point for a guy like Leonard Fournette, who does catch the ball out of the backfield a lot. I think he had like 7 catches last week. So at 6.9K, give me Leonard Fournette.
Very nice. So I'm doing something I don't normally do this week, I guess. I'm going really heavy on the running back position. So if you've been listening to the show, you know I normally go heavy on my wide receivers. But with my second running back, I'll take Austin Eckler, 7.8K. Again, he's going against this Browns defense who they could possibly be without Jadeveon Clowney. Miles Garrett, I think, should play, but maybe he's a little still shook up. And this defense hasn't played a running back as good as Eckler yet this year. So I think he can find the end zone. He's catching balls. He's just a tough player in general. So I'll take him for 7.8K.
Oh, nice. I'm right excited to see who your wide receivers are. Because I went a little lower with my running back, too. I got Raheem Mostert at 5,000. Chase Edmonds just really hasn't been doing it, running the ball out of the backfield. Obviously, he's a good pass catcher. But I think Mostert with Tua out, I think he goes ahead and against this Jets team, which the Browns ran all over them as well. Obviously, Najee Harris did not do all that good last week, but has he ever at all? He's such a waste of a fantasy player, so I'm not bitching or anything. Raheem Mostert at 5,000.
Alrighty. I actually like him. I have him in my other lineup. With my first wide receiver, I'm going to pair with Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to take Christian Kirk, 6.6K.
My God.
He's just been getting a ton of targets, a ton of receptions, really good fantasy stats in general. So, it was a down week for their team in general last week. I think they have a huge bounce back position versus this Houston Texans defense. So I'll take Christian Kirk, 6.6K.
Oh, so you want to talk about targets. My wide receiver one, I had to spend it, 9,600 on Cooper Kupp against Dallas.
Oh, man.
I had so much, but I mean, that's their whole offense. Just throw it to Cooper Kupp. He's going to get double digit catches, over 100 yards, probably a touchdown again this week. He's averaging 30 fantasy points a week. So, I mean, if I'm looking for some points, he's a guaranteed. So give me Cooper Kupp, 9,600.
Yeah, I mean, he's the most targeted player in the NFL so far. So that's a pretty cool view. With my my second wide receiver, I'm going to take another guy who is heavily targeted. And their team is coming back from London, but they're probably going to be without Michael Thomas. I'm going to take Chris Olave, 5.7K. I just think he's still undervalued. I mean, he's a rookie. We watched him at Ohio State. We knew his potential. Him and Wilson, they're both showing out. But I think Chris Olave has been impressive so far. 5.7K. Again, Michael Thomas is out. Who knows what their quarterback situation is going to be like, but I'll still take a risk with him because I think his ceiling's high. Give me Chris Olave, 5.7.
Also, Jarvis Landry's banged up, so yeah, I like that pick a lot. So for my second receiver, I got a guy who's came pretty much fresh off injury last week, so he didn't do all that well, but his team's 14-point favorites. He got 4 touchdowns in a playoff game last year at 6,400. I got Gabe Davis. I was super high on him in fantasy. Seems like all the guys I was super high on in fantasy either get hurt or just don't want to play football this year. So give me Gabe Davis as my second receiver, 6,400.
I know. I was looking at your team like, damn, your team should be fire. Yikes. Hate to see it.
Wait, have you seen my bench this week?
Oh, man.
Questionable. It's fun.
Yikes.
I love fantasy football. It's my favorite fucking thing in the world.
It's a really good time. So with my third wide receiver, I'm going to take Corey Davis, 5.1K. Okay. Zach Wilson likes this guy. I mean, to start the year, Corey Davis was pretty good overall, but Zach Wilson comes back. I mean, he gets 6 targets, a touchdown, 74 yards. He actually has a couple touchdowns on the year, but if you go back to last year, Zach Wilson did like him as a target. It kind of changes his presence, changes things for Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. And I think it benefits Corey Davis. So I'm going to go ahead and take Corey Davis, 5.1K. I think there's potential for him to hopefully get a couple scores against this Miami defense.
Yeah, I think this is a big week for him to step up. He's the veteran guy in that wide receiver room, so I like that pick. So for my third wide receiver, I'm going to go ahead and pair Terry McLaurin with my quarterback, Carson Wentz. 6,200. Didn't do much last week. He started to come on at the end there. The last couple weeks, actually, he just seems like a second-half guy. But I still think he's got the intangibles to be one of the best receivers in the league, and I think he proves it this week. Terry McLaurin at 6,200.
Alrighty, very nice. With my tight end, I'm going to take Dallas Goedert, 4.7K. He's playing this Arizona defense who has been one of the most generous defenses to tight ends to start the year. So I think he has a ton of potential to eat. You got guys like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith in this offense that hopefully should leave Dallas in a great position to eat. He started off the year pretty solid so far. He's a top 5 wide receiver or tight end, and I'll continue to ride him this week, so I'll take him 4.7K.
Very nice. I like. So I, as we were reading these off, I had to change my tight end. So I went ahead and I got Will Disley. He only has 116 total yards this year, but he has 3 touchdowns, and so he's a red zone threat. And against this New Orleans team, who's also banged up, Seattle likes to score points. So at 3,300, super cheap. All I'm looking for is like 2 or 3 catches, a touchdown, 30 yards. 12, 13 points. That's all I'm looking for. So give me Will Disley, 3,300.
There you go. I feel like Seattle and like Tennessee, it's always just random ass tight ends scoring touchdowns. So
right,
you can definitely get TD too. With my flex, I'm going to take George Pickens, 4.3K. I think he's still undervalued. I mean, when Kenny Pickett's in the lineup, I feel like that's just a huge advantage for Pickens. Maybe because their names are so similar. I don't know. But if you look at Pickens, to start the year, he wasn't involved in this offense as much. But he had seven targets 2 games ago. Last game, he had 8 targets. It seems to be ascending for him, especially with the quarterback change. So I'll give him a test at 4.3K. Hopefully I can get 10, 12 points out of him, and we'll see if it's a win.
Yeah, I could see him going over the 5,000 price point some at some point in the season, for sure. So for my flex, I got my guy KJ Osborne. He only had 2 targets, 1 catch for 6 yards last week. It was a pretty frustrating week for him against New Orleans. It was just a weird game in general. So I think he comes back against the Chicago team. There's going to be a lot of eyes on guys like Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, even Irv Smith Jr. Dalvin Cook hasn't done much this year. So I think KJ Osborne comes out and has a big game at 4,200.
All righty. Very nice. And with my defense, I'm going pretty much the bottom of the barrel. Give me the Falcons, 2.2K, just because this Bucs team, they're more of a defensive-minded team, in my opinion. Offensively, I'm sure they can find ways to get off, but maybe it'll be a slow game. Maybe we'll get a little lucky. So I'll take the Falcons, 2.2K.
Very nice. I kind of went a little bottom of the barrel myself, just a little more expensive than you. I went with the Houston Texans against this Jaguars team. You know me and Trevor Lawrence, best buddies, best friends in the world. So I'm just looking for cheap. I tried to find some room for bigger price guys throughout my lineup. I'm just looking for like 7 or 8 points for my defense. That would be cool. A few sacks, not too many points allowed. So give me the Texans at 2,400.
Very nice. So to recap our DraftKings, I have Trevor Lawrence, 5.6K, Nick Chubb, 8K, Austin Eckler, 7.8K, Christian Kirk, 6.6K, Chris Olave, 5.7, Corey Davis, 5.1, Dallas Goedert, 4.7, George Pickens, 4.3, and Atlanta defense, 2.2.
Very nice. And for mine, I got Carson Wentz at 5.7K, Leonard Fournette at 69 giggity, Raheem Mostert at 5,000, Gabe Davis at 6,400 with Cooper Kupp at 9,600, Terry McLaurin, 6,200, Will Disley at 3,300 and KJ Osborne 4,200. And my defense is Houston at 2,400.
Very nice. I think we're due for a really solid week.
We need it. Also, if you guys wanted to get in, we still have some spots available in our DraftKings. So send us your DraftKings name. We'll send you an invite. $5. Just give you a little extra incentive to watch these games. All these 1 o'clockers is really fun.
I think that will pretty much bring us to the, what did he say?
Oh, nice. You nailed it. I'll go ahead and let you answer first since I'm pretty sure I got this one.
All right. So just to recap the what did he say, again, it's a curveball this week, full pun. But Aaron Judge fell to 0.04 in batting average away from winning the Triple Crown this year. He was the last player in the MLB to win the Triple Crown. My answer, because I literally don't know and I have no idea, I'll say Barry Bonds.
Okay, I like that answer. I, like I said, I'm 99.9% sure, but I'm going to go ahead and go with Miguel Cabrera.
Yes, sir. Did ding, ding, ding. Yep.
Yes, yep.
So I think this fully qualifies for a win. I think we'll have to go ahead and just up the ante for the LCP.
Yeah, I'm not sure the total yet. We'll throw that in there. Maybe like 3-2 us. I think it might be three to three.
So
okay,
yeah, pretty close. That's fair.
But, yeah, so that was a good win.
Yeah, shout out our guy D-Say. I mean, he really is good at what he does, coming up with these questions. But It couldn't go past my guy Nate.
Yeah, I knew that one for a while. Big baseball guy. I've been for a while, so. That was a good one. Thank you, D-Say. Real quick, thank you, AJ, for getting the doc set up for us. And we were able to just go through nice and smooth. Thank you, Tone, for being here on a Friday evening. And I'm just happy to be back. I'm excited to get back in the stew next week and get things rolling again.
Yeah, definitely. It's just so good to have you back. I mean, shout out my guy, AJ. We held it down when you were gone, but... Mm-hmm. You know, as we always say, we work best when we're all three together in the stew and just doing our thing. So shout out our LCP squad, and we're going to continue to grow. Nate's been killing it. Hopefully you can continue to do that. I'm right there. So we'll just keep grinding it out.
Yeah, of course, I appreciate you guys for holding it down, just continually putting out good product, good advertisement. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. It's past my bedtime. But if you haven't yet, check us out on all our social medias. We've been really into TikTok lately. Go check us out, Luck Changers Podcast. That's our tag on all of our social medias. I'm old. I don't know what those are called. Ats, whatever you want to call them. But for your podcast, Luck Changers, I'm your host, Nate, co-host Tone, shout moderator AJ and D-Say. We are the Luck Changers, and we are out.
Adios.
Peace. I'm out of here.
Love you, AJ.
Love you, boys.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Does your employer pay for training or education that could help you in your job today? Then, IT folks, this is for you. CBT Nuggets offers online IT training that's affordable and, dare we say, fun. From networking and cybersecurity to data science, CBT Nuggets has the training to get you through the workday. With our courses, you'll build real-world skills with short, engaging videos, hands-on virtual labs, and quiz questions to test what you've learned. Go to cbtnuggets.com and check it out. Our online platform launches right in your browser. No expensive hardware or software is needed to start. The best part? You can watch and learn at your own pace, on your schedule. cbtnuggets.com. It's IT training for all levels. From beginner-level courses to advanced network training, our expert instructors give you information that's informative, meaningful, and engaging. We've been helping learners for over 25 years, and we're a trusted name in IT training. So tell your boss it's time for CBT Nuggets IT training. Go to cbtnuggets.com and get started today.